that was a UFO beaming back at you. Now, they've been coming here ever since 1946, and they have been living and working among us in vast quantities ever since. The government knows all about them. These leaders have decided to repress this information because of the tremendous shock that it would cause to our antiquated system.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
You're listening to Nick of Time, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal. Brought to you by Lineup Media Group.
Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. The air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do and there's no end to it.
The whole truth about JFK, 9/11, Area 51, the Illuminati, the moon landings, Jesus and Magdalene, the CIA, KGB, and AIDS, the reptilian elite, Watergate, the New World Order, Bilderberg, the MKUltra Project, the history of the world and the oppression of the human consciousness, and the truth about God, the devil, heaven, hell, and the delicate fabric of the universe.
You've got to say, I am as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Welcome to Nick of Time Podcast, a lineupmedia.fm production brought to you this week and every week, of course, by audible.com, the one and only. Go to audibletrial.com/nickoftime to get a 30-day free trial and free audiobook download. And if you're looking to do any shopping on Amazon, I have a suggestion. Please visit our website, nickoftimepodcast.com, and click the Amazon banner. And let me tell you why. It's very important because any purchases that you make during your shopping session on Amazon from the click, from the website, will directly support our show. That's right. It will directly support our show.
There's actually a good book that's on Amazon about the Georgia Guidestones. It's called The Georgia Guidestones, America's Most Mysterious Monument. You can get it for less than $15.
Oh, there you go. That's some good reading on the subject that we're talking
about. It's got almost 5 stars after 14 reviews, so...
Right. Very nice. Very nice. Again, I wanted to remind you guys that we'll be doing a UFO show soon, and we'd really like some feedback as to what topics you would like us to cover. As I said before, a lot of people have reached out to us and said that how they found us was searching for UFOs in their podcast app. So it is very apparent that we have to do a UFO episode, but it's such a broad subject. We really want to know what you guys want us to cover.
Yeah, so, such as like specific types, contact.
Yeah, anything that you really want us to cover that has to do with UFOs that would fit in a UFO show. And we are back this week. You guys came here for an episode, and that's what you're going to get. It's me, Eric.
Hi, guys. It's Everett.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
And we are back.
We got Sean back.
We got Sean. Sean on part two again.
Part two. Here we go.
Part two of.
I'm ready.
Hello, the world. That is Sean.
That is Sean. The one, the only.
We don't want to make you a...
The man, the myth, the legend.
We got listeners all over the world.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We don't want to make you nervous.
We had a guy from Brazil send us an email.
Brazil, yes, we did.
Nice email, so.
Well, there you go, you know.
That's pretty nice.
Right.
You're nationwide, worldwide.
Again.
Here we go. Yeah,
so let's get back on these Georgia Guidestones. We're sitting here jumping around in circles, scratching each other.
So follow us again on part two this week as we search for answers with the Georgia Guidestones.
You're trying real hard to get that to be a thing you do, isn't it?
I like it. I do.
Follow us as we dove deep into the mystery of Georgia Guidestones.
He wants his Howard Cosell.
Yeah. And this is... Marv Albert, I'm back.
Just a bit outside.
Hey, you're not an announcer.
All right, so a little recap. This is an article directly from RadioLiberty.com. So this is not my personal thing, but it's just a little recap for you guys. On one of the highest hilltops in Elbert County, Georgia, stands a huge granite monument engraved in 8 different languages and on 4 giant stones that support the common capstone. Our 10 guides... or commandments. This monument is alternately referred to as the Georgia Guidestones or has been dubbed recently the American Stonehenge. Though relatively unknown to most people, it is an important link to the occult hierarchy that dominates the world in which we live. What do you guys think about that occult hierarchy? Did you guys NWO. We talked,
It's a good Illuminati possibility that it definitely had to have been some weird cult. making this.
Well, the fact that they didn't, they remained, anonymous. Well, that's what makes me think there's something to be hidden here.
And it's just a pseudonym.
That goes right into the next part of this article. It says the origin of that strange monument is shrouded in mystery because no one knows the true identity of the man or men who commissioned its construction. All that is known for certain is that June 1979, a well-dressed, articulate stranger visited the office of Elberton Granite Finishing Company and announced that he wanted to build an edifice to transmit a message to mankind. That's fucking crazy. He identified himself as R.C. Christian. And that was something we talked about, Rosicrucians. But, that's all speculation. But it soon became apparent that was not his real name. He said that he represented a group of men who wanted to offer direction to humanity. But to date, almost two decades later, no one knows exactly who R.C. Christian really was or is, or the names of those that he represented. Several things are apparent, though. The messages engraved on the Georgia Guidestones deal with four major fields: governance and the establishment of a world government, population and reproduction control, number three, the environment and man's relationship to nature, and number four, spirituality. So that, I thought that was a really good a recap of what we talked about last week from this article.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
On Radio Liberty. Yeah. So you guys all get it. We talked about it. It's just a huge ass monument made up of six granite, four big slabs, one big pillar, and a capstone.
Yeah.
And then there's a keystone off to the side.
It's a tower of Babel and Stonehenge put together.
A modern Rosetta Stone.
Yep.
Oh, so we talked about all that. So now we are to the juicy stuff, you guys. This is
the juicy stuff.
We didn't want to get premature on you last week, last part on you. So we saved all of our goody juiciness for the second half. And what we're going to do now is we're going to tell you about all 10 of the commandments that are on the Georgia Guidestones, all of the rules, regulations, and everything. And we're going to start with number one, which is...
Now, these are written in all of those languages, all 8 languages on every pillar. Too.
Exactly so, right. So, each pillar...
So, this is almost like a guide to humanity for the future, or maybe the new world order.
Yeah, because they want to convey this message to anybody that finds it, because it's on all 4 slabs, one language on each side of the slab, it is written... All 10 of these are written on every slab. Yeah,
almost like the 10 Commandments, right.
Exactly. So let's start with number one, which is undoubtedly the most controversial. Sean, you want to read number one?
Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. So by doing that, you were roughly going to kill,
90% of the world.
90% of the world.
90+%.
So
500 million. That's insane.
So 9 out of 10 people you know.
Who do we pick?
Who decides who goes and who stays?
This is how it always works. This is how it always works in class warfare. We're gonna the sick, the elderly, the poor.
Yeah, agreed.
As bad as that sounds, that makes perfect sense.
It does, and then
people that can't produce to the society, productive members of society. I should say
that's what they're saying. That's pretty much what they're saying. So
infirm.
We're going right back to the Hitler days,
right?
This is Nazi
with eugenics and types.
Something I didn't get with the. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And they even got into the R.C. Christian, the guy who built it. That R may be standing for Rockefeller, who in 1913 made that anti-fertility drug that he was administering.
Oh, okay.
Trying to knock down the population.
And that goes right along with number one, the control it under 500 million. See, and something that I thought was really interesting about the number one was that, okay, so if you want to maintain the population under 500 million, so that means there's 500 million people left. 500 million people left to do what 7 billion are doing now, which granted you're going to say Africa, there's no production over there, whatever. Okay, but I mean, people haul your food, people harvest your food, people bring you your food, people cook your food, people wait on you.
Working class, right?
Yeah, okay, so when you cut the population down to 500 million, even if you are a 1%er with all that money, a Rockefeller or a Rothschild, your life is drastically going to change, regardless of how you want to say it, it's not going to be the same as it was, because things are going to be a lot more difficult. You're going to actually, it's going to be more physical, regardless of how people are going to have to work more.
It reminds me of
No one's going to be there to mow your lawn.
Hunger Games.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, exactly. We've already like got Hunger rid of Games. We've already got rid of the landscaping, whatever. You know, right. We've already got rid of our landscaping crew. Everybody that's not essential, non-essential. You don't have money. You know, I mean, that's what I said. Who picks? I mean, who stays in the 500 million?
Think about the Hunger Games, the way their class system was set up, the way they had the districts that one was like their energy production district.
Oh, okay,
one was
their
farming district.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that all supported the capital, which was your one percenters, if you
which was your 500 million. Well, so maybe I'm sorry. But I was thinking maybe so the 500 million, but there's still more when you count, you know, your little outskirts that are, you know, your population that's powering the capital, your population that's growing the food for the capital.
Sure.
Go ahead. What were you saying, Sean?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, so yeah, but population control in general, that's really nuts. That's
every society wants population control.
Yeah, well, that's something that's been prevalent in the media as much of lately because of the Bill Gates Foundation and their vaccines. And we talked about this on a few previous episodes that they administered vaccines to 274 kids in an African town, and 95% all came out paralyzed. 95% of those kids came out paralyzed.
I mean, really?
That's true. That's totally a thing, dude.
I mean, it goes back to like Nazi Germany. They even experimented on kids, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, you lived or died, you know. I mean, that's what this is saying to me, you know. I mean, this is the new, you know, they're creating a new Bible is what it almost sounds like to me on this.
More than
right.
that.
Okay, know. But if strictly sticking with number one, so a population under 500 million, what's smart? You know, because, I mean, that's almost a post-apocalyptic scenario. So do you spread out? Do you stay in a closed city much like they did in Hunger Games with the capital where everyone that was important was bunched together? Or do you try to spread out and live off the fat of the land? Do you try to, you know what I mean? What's going to be better? Because obviously you're going to have to work harder. We talked about the workforce not going to be, you know, you don't have people in Bangladesh making your Nikes now. You get what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean? Those people are non-essential. They're part of the 6.5 billion that got killed.
Right.
Yeah, but that's a real small part of it.
And a big part of Africa would probably be part of that.
You think they care?
Hypothetically?
You think this even takes into account the unincorporated? Really, they have real no mark on the world anyway. They're pretty much already living in balance.
Right.
Well, okay.
The warring countries.
I don't think it matters with that. I mean, yeah, like if you're talking like Rwanda and those countries that are pretty much war torn, I'm sure that's part of it. But you know, your unincorporated tribes and you know things like that, I don't think that has anything to do with it. Those don't count in the 500 million because they're already in unity.
Fair enough. I'm with that. I can go with that.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, man, the population control, that's just nuts. And I just can't help but think like. As a, you know, because everyone's idea and perception of a rich person is they're rich and lazy, they do no physical manual labor, and I just can't help but think that if you were to cut the population of 500 million, you would really have no choice in helping yourself. You'd have to do things,
yeah, grow your own food,
right. You have to do things, you know what I'm saying?
If you were to cut that population to 500 million, and let's just say there's 1% of the world that, you know, has money, that'd cut it down to what, 70 million?
Right. And I was also thinking, so like if you're going to, another way to control the population out of 500 million is if you were going to do it over time, like do you sterilize people? Do you do it under one generation? Do you sterilize all these people in one generation and make it like an 80-year gig before you have your 500 million? Because if that's the case, the people that are doing all the operating right now, the actual heads behind it are not even going to be alive when the population's down to 500 million. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So like, do you kill everybody all at once, or do you do it humanely? Do you sterilize them and just not let them reproduce, let them live out the rest of their life? How do you maintain that population under 500 million? How do you get there?
You can't throw an annual purge, you know, to where
exactly.
You know,
so, that's a thought. That's what I'm saying. So how do you get to 500 million? Because we obviously have 7 billion people on Earth today. There's got to be okay, you made the rule. There's going to be some, you know, I didn't make the rule. Number one, they made the rule. So there's got to be, they got to have some logical step or solution or plan of some way to either do this quickly or over the course of time. But I mean, I would like to think that you don't want to do it over like 300 years.
Well, apparently Rockefeller's been doing this since 1913, putting fertility drugs.
Well, Rockefeller's been dead for a good long while though.
Right. I mean, well, you know.
In spirit, Pigman.
Right. You know, I don't know if, yeah, that still applies.
All right.
But, experimented with.
Let's move on to number two. Number one's very, like I said, number one was the most controversial, maintain under 500 million. So that's very nuts. Goes a long way with the conspiracy.
Yeah, that's the death of billions of people.
Billions of people have to die. So number two, guide reproduction wisely. improving fitness and diversity.
So that's eugenics, exactly right. Then allowing, deciding who can reproduce and how.
Yeah, right. Again, yeah, it's almost who decides that.
Yeah, that's Nazi shit.
You know. Okay,
yeah,
so what you're saying here is like, don't breed, yeah. and we're not judging you here, people, but don't breed fat people and don't breed stupid people. You know, is that what you mean by guide reproduction wisely? Is that what they're talking about?
Pretty much.
No stupid people, no out of shape people, and improving on fitness and diversity. So does that mean that they're going to be like improving on fitness, a worldwide exercise program, or are they just going to start just breeding people that are fit?
I mean,
there's so many ways to interpret this. The guy, the reproduction is, you know, I mean, we talked about this earlier today, Sean. Spartans in ancient Sparta, they threw the babies away that they didn't feel were fit or good enough to be in their lineage. Remember,
right, it was
in 300.
Right,
okay, yeah. So they kind of guided their reproduction wisely with fitness and diversity, and not so much diversity, but fitness in mind.
Well, Hitler did the same. I mean, history always repeats itself. Hitler did the same. Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Right. He was definitely trying to guide.
Or you're in the gas chamber.
He was definitely trying to guide where the race and population was going.
Exactly. You know.
And another interesting theory.
And that's where this is going. That's why we're talking about this, is because this is almost an in your face. We're going to do this, and you can't stop us.
Right, it's right there. It's right in our face. And see, another interesting theory that we talked about, Sean. So this wasn't mine. This was me and him together here. Is number two a map for number one? Like what it would take?
I think so.
You know what I mean?
It seems like a subset.
You know what I'm saying? So like number two is basically just telling you how to get to number one. Guide your reproduction wisely to maintain your numbers under 500 million with keeping in mind fitness and diversity. Yeah. So this is
two enforces number one.
Two enforces number one. Okay. I like that, you know, and you know, we already talked about, how aggressive you were with sterilizing people, how long that would take, you know? Okay. So diversity was something else I wanted to touch on. So what do they mean by that? They mean like by breed all races, and no racial tension here at all, people. But so like black people are physically stronger and faster. Now, do you want to breed that in with your smarter or, and I'm not saying black people aren't smart. So this is kind of touchy, you guys here, but I'm just saying like when it comes to diversity, I imagine each race has its good points and its bad points. You know what I'm saying? So how do you incorporate that into your breeding schedule or program? And again, who fucking decides who gets to go and stay and who gets to, what are the breeding parameters? Like, I want to know where all this is coming from.
Well, I think it comes from, you know, the builder, R.C. Christian, you know, he lived through the Cold War, you know, he felt doomsday was upon him. So, you know, I think he was, you know.
So he was probably anticipating that all this stuff was going to take place a long time before now.
Probably when we thought it would take place, you know, when the millennium changed, you know, like many people did, or the end of the Mayan calendar, you know. So, you know, I mean, some say he was just, you know, Cold War crazy, but I don't know.
I say he was onto something.
I mean, I don't know.
You call him crazy. I call him
interesting. A lot of his new Bible commandments that we're going to go through on here, it sounds a lot like, you know, socialism to me. So,
Does it? Okay, well,
and it sounds like the making of a new world order, if you will.
Right. Let's move it right on along to number three. We talked about that number two, guiding the reproduction wisely, and that how we thought it was a facet for number one, how it just reinforced and incorporated into number one. So number three being unite humanity with a living new language.
Yeah.
Now that's crazy.
So taking all the languages and making one language of the world, you know.
Again, with that Rosetta Stone theory, because the Georgia Guidestone had basically all different languages and different dead languages even, you know. So how do they decide what language is the new living language? Now I heard there was a language that's a universal language that scientists use to communicate all throughout the world. It was called Esperanto. Something like that. And so that would, and you know, that's like derived from four or five different languages, I believe. But you know, that's just the thing. That's you want to have a language that everyone's going to be able to understand, or at least be able to walk themselves through the first part. Like we talked about in part one, how if you know some English, you can kind of get through a little bit of Spanish because, you know, like some of the words are similar. They come from the base derivatives. Their derivatives are the same. The word derivatives, where the word derives from, are the same for each language. Yeah. You know what I mean? So what would the new language be? The universal living new language.
I sure hope it turns out to be English.
Right, yeah, for our luck. Can we? I'm voting for English if we can get a vote on this.
Well, I hope so. But like I said, the Chinese language outnumbers us 3-1.
So does Hindi.
So Chinese and Hindu are more commonly spoken.
No, it's China's number 1, 3-1, English 2, and then Spanish 3.
Really?
Is that what it was?
I think Hindu's 5.
Okay, so so what's the easiest language to learn? Because I've always heard that English is a hard language to learn.
Yeah, we use a lot of Ebonics and slang and everything else.
Right. You use a lot of Ebonics?
I don't know. Sucker? I don't know. Sucker? What's up, man? You know?
Get my shiv.
I'm just fucking with
get
you.
Get my shiv.
If you want to throw fisticuffs.
But
speak a weird Ebonics.
I've honestly never learned another language. What about you, Biggie?
I got some cracked out Spanish.
So cracked out Spanish. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of a crazy idea to think that everywhere, every person on Earth would speak the same language. Well of course, there's only 500 million of them.
Not that hard to believe. Right? I mean,
once you start teaching you have no choice to catch on.
Yeah, you have to. Right.
One most necessity is mother of all invention. So. You would learn or die. And that's what I think this kind of touches on, basically, is a survival of the fittest. That's why, going back to number one, improving fitness and diversity, it doesn't matter who you are, it's survival of the fittest. And the elderly, the sick, the poor, we're doing away with.
They're going to be the first ones to go.
And it's straight fascism,
They're going to be really the first ones to go.
I'm kind of, how can Georgia allow something like that, in their state? You know what I mean?
Is it on private property? Does anybody know? Yeah, it is. It's on the.
It's on a farm. Yeah, it's right? on. A, it's on a privately owned
so
farm.
So the state has
no bearing on it. That's It's on a private farm.
And that's never stopped them before. If you hung the whole Confederate flag thing.
You can hang a Confederate flag anywhere you want.
Yeah, it's not illegal.
In Germany, it's illegal to hang Nazi regalia.
Right. With good reason, though. I mean.
Right. But in America, we don't have that problem with anything. You can hang up KKK flags if you're so inclined.
Okay, so let's
bad idea, but right.
Yeah,
well, there's no accounting for taste, but like I said, I'm glad we have the ability. If that's what you want, then do it.
Right.
Agreed.
Right.
I like to have that freedom.
Right.
Number four was kind of a weird one because this one gets into the spiritual aspect of it, and it can be interpreted in many different ways. But the exact reading goes for number four on the Georgia Guidestones is rule, passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. What I interpreted from this, and I would like to hear your guys' thoughts as well, but what I interpreted from this was heritage being important to them because, it talks about tradition. What religion stays in the society after the 500 million? Because, they talk about faith and passion. And something that I really didn't get that I thought was kind of hypocritical was rule with tempered reason. Okay. And then it talks about faith. Which faith that there's no reason at all to faith.
There's no tempered reason to faith.
There's no tempered reason at all to faith. So I kind of thought that was a little hypocritical. Rule, passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Faith, you're not providing any reason to faith.
Well, yeah. I mean, what you believe is what you believe. And that's,
that's
the way it should be.
Right. So what do you take from that? What do you guys take from that?
I mean, I know there's a big thing in an extremist going on in the world with Orlando just happening and all that, But still, what it's trying to do, I think, is, hit home with the most, your passions in life, your beliefs in life, and your legacy in life.
So you think this is trying to tell you to do everything you do, everything that you do in your life, do it with passion, do it with faith, keep your tradition in mind, and do it all while thinking logically and temperament.
That's just good advice, though.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's some solid advice there.
I mean, it's a mixture, but I mean, it's all built to hold the population down, really,
I mean,
conform.
What do you think about it?
Absolutely.
What do you think about it, Biggie?
No, I mean,
what do you think about it? Nothing.
What exactly? Which part do you mean? I mean,
what do you think about number four? Rule, passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Like I said, I that's what I got out of it was, the hypocritical part of it. But it can be interpreted in a lot of different ways.
It's like Solomon, and that's all they're trying to say. Be more like Solomon. Just keep an open mind and be fair.
Be fair. Okay, so number four is just some good, downright damn good advice.
That's my interpretation.
All right, so we're going to move right along. Number five on the Georgia Guidestones, protect people and nations with fair laws and a just court.
I mean, that's that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
this isn't nothing earth shattering. What's right. the next
so, one? So, like, right? we already have that, though, like the United Nations. That's like a world court.
Well, ideally.
Okay. I mean, Interpol, don't they? That would be like the fair laws or whatever the Interpol deals with that.
No, that's not what they deal with.
What does Interpol do?
They're more or less like interjurisdictional.
Oh, okay. So they have jurisdiction. Okay. So they would be your police. You're policing. You know what I'm saying?
Sort of.
Okay, so at a fair
think
law,
of them like worldwide FBI.
Now here's something that's different. Now because we're going to be a lot of different religions and different types of people, fair law. What's fair in America is not exactly fair for Sharia law. You right. know, so who decides what laws are fair and just? You know, is it the court? Is it the some sort of council? Do you have a Congress, a parliament, a board of directors, a king, a president, a head of state?
Well,
who decides what laws are fair?
It'd be just like V for Vendetta. You would have one man appointed to it all.
So essentially a dictator.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
That sounds
That sounds horrible.
That sounds like the worst thing ever.
But you get what I'm saying? What's fair in America and fair in Sharia law is totally different. So fair laws, you know, and if this is going to be a worldwide thing.
Not universal.
Exactly. So it's going to be a worldwide thing, though, right? I mean, this is, they just said that.
Whenever you drop the population down to 500 million, you can kind of pick and choose what morality you're going to follow.
Right.
Okay, and then it says protect the people and nations with fair laws and just court. Okay, so how do you protect? Do you have an international police force, an army, some sort of international guard? I mean, what are we talking about here protect the people and nations with fair laws and just court?
If you're going to do number one and knock the population down to 500 million, do the mass genocide of 2.5 billion people, then
6.5
thank
billion.
Thank you. If you're going to genocide 6.5 billion people, then, I mean, that don't take an expert to you know.
Right. They're probably not too worried about protecting anybody after they've just killed 6.5 billion people. I'm calling bullshit on rule number five. You back at rule one, you killed 7 billion people. Now rule five, you're trying to save us?
After give me
a
fact.
Give me a break.
I don't trust any man that killed 6.5 billion people. You know? I mean, call me crazy.
Now, number six, I don't have a whole lot wrote down for, so I'm going to count on you guys to fill this one in. Number six is, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court.
Sounds a lot like
the United Nations.
As it should be anyway.
Yeah, that's what I had wrote down, was United Nations.
Yeah,
so,
right. I mean, it's already begun.
I mean,
really,
that sounds
like,
fair.
It's not like every one of these guidelines on the Guidestones is different than what we have now.
Right, there's not too many of them, you know, with the exception of a few. Because like number six, that's not something that could be done in today's society. Let all nations rule internally. Yet. Exactly. That is being done. Okay, well, let's hit number seven. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. And all I got here is, I fucking wish.
Right.
Sounds like Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
Again, so who decides what laws are petty? And who decides what officials are useless? So
it reminds me of like the 1800s.
Do we have a vote? Is this a democracy in this new in the new society of 500 million? Is it a democracy? Do we vote?
I mean, after you kill 6.5 billion people, I don't think you got much say in the world anymore.
Right. Well, I think the remaining 500 million are kind of be like, yeah, dude, whatever the fuck you say,
real. Yeah, the problem with this is having a society who isn't petty. You have to have petty laws when you have a petty society. You get mad at your neighbor for, oops, their dog peed on my flower and killed it.
So
that's whenever you need petty laws, when you got petty people.
So let me interject a little bit. Right. So this would be better if all these humans were at a higher level of consciousness, like we talked about before. These would all make a lot more sense because you're kind of ruling out all your materialistic things with these 10 codes and everything. So so maybe at a higher level of consciousness, these humans would this would be perfect for
them. Well, like I said, this is the by these laws, this is survival of the fittest.
This
is, you know, I mean.
Number eight is very interesting as well. Number eight on the Georgia Guidestones is balance personal rights with social duties. Now, this was the one where I came up with,
draft. Well, exactly. Interesting. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's almost like slave, you know? So you have no freedom.
Who gets to decide what the duty to state is?
You know, right, yeah. Well, and you got to contribute to the society, but at what end, at what cost?
Well, if I make enough money and I get a good job and I'm 50 years old, you know, I should be able to not have to you know,
amen,
balance
brother.
My personal rights with civil, with, you know,
right.
With civil
if I
duties.
If I've lived like my life already, through hard work and I can
exactly,
afford, yeah, you're
you
not
know?
Gonna make me do it.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have to still, you know, balance.
But that's
why I don't.
But that's my thinking.
Duties.
That's the thinking.
I mean, this is straight neo-Nazi.
But you know what? That's the know? Thinking that's not gonna work in this utopian society here, because everyone's gonna have to do their part.
Well,
and
that's
you
their
might've...
idea of utopia, oh. not mine.
Exactly.
Touché.
Well, in the end, man, free will prevail here. At least I'd like to believe that. Yeah. I may be naive.
You're probably absolutely
sure.
Right,
I mean,
though.
In the cradle of civilization, they've had several thousand years for free will to prevail, and they're doing great over there.
Yeah. There you go.
That sarcasm, folks. In case you didn't know,
right.
Very, very.
I'm fluent.
It's thick here in the studio fluent. Today. Yeah. but yeah, that was pretty nuts too. Balance personal rights with social duties. So. That one, I didn't have a lot to do with it. Just so, I thought socialism and make sure you're freaking contributing. What do you got, Sean?
Oh no, I absolutely agree with you. You know,
okay,
you know.
Well, we'll move it right on to number right, nine yeah. then.
Go on, go ahead.
Price, truth, beauty, love seeking harmony with the infinite. Wait, well, that can't
so,
be the
no,
best.
No,
hit,
no,
hit me
no,
again. Here. I fucked that up.
You know what you want to prize in life is truth, beauty, love. Seeking harmony with the infinite.
Oh, sounds okay. like a hippie
I
shit
missed
to
all
me.
My commas.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, man. That's a hipster statement. You
right.
know?
Hippie.
But what I find interesting is that, you know, I understand prize truth and love, but prize beauty. You
right,
know?
They're kind of putting
a
spin on there
yet
that
again.
Shouldn't be.
I mean, I hate to keep going back
maybe
to this,
maybe
they
but mean just the beauty of nature, you know, just the things that are beautiful.
I mean, I maybe, but
beautiful
I mean,
sounds, beautiful thoughts.
You know,
beautiful.
I mean, beautiful I get, but beauty is, you know,
it's
cosmics, you know.
It's not.
But
what I got from all this was this kind of sounded more universe-y. So this was to me because
universe-y.
University.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
You do. You do have a clue what I'm talking about.
Universal?
University.
Yeah, we make up
of the
too.
University. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we reserve the right to be wrong. But I feel like that there would be less religion in this 500 million person society than what is now. And that they're still going to need some sort of like a peace structure to live by. Not necessarily religion.
Spiritualism.
Something spiritual or whatever that they can do.
Right.
You know, and that's what I mean by sounding more university. Because this comes like from, you know, right here. Seeking harmony with the infinite.
Right.
Tell me that doesn't sound university. Not university, but university.
Well, to coin a term, I guess it does.
There you go.
Well, a lot of people actually believe that there's three main things to this, you know, and number one, you know, govern and establish a new world, you know, population control. And, you know, and they're trying to make you, instead of a god, you have a relationship with nature, you know.
Right. Well, you know, like I was saying, so they've got some sort of peace structure to live by, something. So they, again, a form of control, because remember in Book of Eli, that's all he wanted was that Bible because he felt that was the way he was going to be able to control people.
Right.
So whether it be a religion or not, I feel like with number nine, they're trying to set up the ground rules, the basis for some sort of peace structure, you know.
The best way to rule someone is through their faith.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, blindly believing whatever
exactly.
you're told. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And especially people that are dumbed down. So.
Agreed. Okay, so that was number nine. And here it is, the last, number 10 for the Georgia Guidestones. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Hit me with it.
Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. And it says that twice. It's actually printed twice and scribed twice on there. So let me read it again. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature.
I mean, I agree with
don't
that.
Don't litter, man.
I mean, I have
that pick up after yourself.
Well, just coming from New York, I mean, I get that. I mean, there's a lot of concrete jungles, you know, and they're just ripping that. They're just ripping that.
You consider
apart.
That to be a cancer on the earth?
Deforestation you know. Totally is a cancer on the earth. I feel like
right, you know. So, you know, I see where they're coming with that, but I also see almost a hidden message in between, you know. I mean, it sounds a lot like neo-Nazism.
I would think that pollution's not going to be near as bad. Obviously, we don't have any of the, you know, not near the number of people. So pollution's going to be cut way down.
Oh, well, it would stamp out a lot of problems. But look, at the end of the day, you know, do you want 6.5 million on
6.5
your,
on billion.
Billion, with a B, you know. Do you want that? Does anyone want that on their mind? I mean, you know.
See, something I got from number 10, you know, be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature, was make the earth sustainable again. Because as it sits right now, with as many people on the earth, it's not a sustainable.
Oh, we're killing the earth. That's obvious.
This is what we've got going on is not sustainable right now. There's no way that it can sustain.
I think, in my opinion, we're making the positive steps with renewable energy, like with Elon Musk.
We're trying. We are trying. You're right. I mean, like you said, the renewable energy.
In 100 years, dude, it's going to be entirely.
We have got to shift away from fossil fuels.
I hope so.
If we want to quit and be not a cancer of this earth.
Hello, Mr. Obvious.
I feel we have got to shift away from fossil fuels.
Like you were saying, in 100 years, I mean, our infrastructure is so bad. I mean, I just, you know, and our debt's so deep. I wonder where all this money's going to come from in the end, you know?
Private
sector, where it always comes from.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. I mean,
fair enough.
You know, taxes, and more taxes.
Another thing we talked about was number 10 being a guide for number 1. Be not a cancer on this earth. Leave room for nature. So, number 10 being a guide again. So, if you got somebody that's not doing anything, they're being a cancer to this earth. That's kind of going to tell you who to start with, you know, on your depopulation control.
Poor, the poor, the sick, and the elderly. You know,
again, like you just said, class warfare.
Exactly. Yeah. At its finest. You know, we're going to eliminate the poor and even
for starters.
Even,
yeah.
And even the middle low class.
The crazies.
Yeah. Right. And we're going to go straight middle class and up. You know. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's nuts. So these Georgia Guidestones, man, I can't help but think of like what an end game would be. So essentially, they're wanting to depopulate the earth to 500 million. They're wanting to, you know, keep everyone in a centralized world court with just and fair laws. You know, this is very nuts. This is very, no,
well,
very.
Like I said, I mean, it sounds.
I think it's
like,
very vain.
Arrogant. Oh, these fuckers are arrogant for sure. Like, who do you think you are trying to do this?
I said on our first podcast, this is like a slap in the face. Here's what we're going to do. Just try and stop us.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit of the who. So, you know, and this is, again, we're just going to sheer speculate here. Illuminati, NWO, Freemasons, Bilderberg Group, you know, all these big Rosicrucians, all these big secret societies. So, again, no one really knows who is responsible for putting these up. So, and why?
But it's by design. So, I mean.
It is nuts.
You can't trust any group who stays in the shadows, in my opinion.
Well,
they
have something to hide.
Yeah.
Well, they've got the reason for it, and they're keeping that reason to themselves. Then it can't be, you know, it can't be a good reason.
It can't be a good reason.
This is
you
true.
Know? I've never heard of a good reason anyone's been anonymous.
I'm going to call for the destruction of the Georgia Guidestones now.
Right.
Tear them down. Well, I'm from Georgia.
Well, they're getting vandalized.
Let's cut that shit out.
No, I disagree.
Okay, so.
At the end of the day, it's almost a work of art, a commissioned work of art.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Right.
Nobody's taking this seriously. Like, it's the way to be.
Some people are taking this seriously.
There's a few, you know, you're fanatical, sure.
Yeah.
They're going to have that with everything. But,
okay, so guys, I don't want to get all Jerry Springer on you, but final thoughts. What are your guys' what's some final thoughts that you've got on the Georgia Guidestones? Bullshit, maybe, possibility?
I'm pretty sure they exist.
Well, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, they are there.
We've cracked the case.
We figured it out. They are there, Elbert County, Georgia, United States.
Yeah, like I've been saying all along, I think it's an egotistical attempt to make a mark on history. Even if your name's not on it, I guess that's not what really matters.
Right.
I mean, I agree. What was his name again?
R.C. Christian.
R.C. Christian.
Christensen.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, he was apparently, he was, you know, the Cold War really messed him up. You know, he went to the biggest granite site in the world. That would be the absolutely cheapest place to do it, you know. And then he pretty much put his, you know.
But for what we know, he was commissioned by other people to do this. He wasn't the brains behind this or the money behind this.
What makes this very curious is who sponsored him. And out of all the looking, no one knows who sponsored this. Yeah, no one knows who put up
that 300. That's the complete mystery.
Yeah, no one knows who put up that $300,000, which back in 1970 would be, you know, what, $1.5 million today or something?
Oh, you know, I don't know the exchange rate or anything like that or the conversion to it, but inflation. But yeah, it would be more. It would be substantially more.
Exactly,
substantially more.
You know, and nothing on here says, you know, everything on there describes Nazism, New World Order. I mean, you know, basically, you know, same things I've heard Hitler say.
Everyone in your secret societies is more or less bound.
Yeah, I mean,
so nothing new here at Nick of Time.
Right.
Secret societies, cults, conspiracies, paranormals, you know.
That's Nazism. I've heard this once before out of Hitler's mouth.
All right, well, guys, I feel like we did a great show on the Georgia Guidestones. I had a lot of fun doing it.
It was all right. I feel like I've learned a lot about what they are and what they what.
No, yeah, right. Absolutely.
And if anything, we conveyed some good knowledge to our listeners.
I hope so.
I wouldn't say that. Sorry, guys.
Right. Anything you'd like to add, Pigpen, about the network, about the show, anything?
No, keep on listening. We're loving our subscription rates. We're getting a lot of listeners, and glad to pass around the word of all the freaky shit out there that we don't know about. But
our likes are going up.
Yeah.
Our subscribes are going up. Our followers are going up.
I guess that means we're doing something right. So we're glad to provide a service to you.
Okay, and
boy, that sounds vain.
I'd like to thank Sean again this week.
Thanks for coming on, Sean.
Thanks for coming on, giving us a good discussion. Your insight was very helpful.
Back on again sometime.
Oh, yeah, we'd definitely love to have you back.
Oh man, it's a blast, man. I appreciate this. It's a good time.
Okay, so remember to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick of Time Show or on Twitter at Nick of Time Show. Also, please remember to
subscribe.
iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, or your favorite podcast outlet. Really doesn't matter which.
If you want to write your own software and plug our RSS feed into it and pull the feed down that way, that's fine too.
That sounded Chinese to me.
Well, it's not.
It's a good thing you're the technical one, not me. Anyways, okay, so please give us a 5-star rating if that's what you feel what you deserve. We probably do. I mean, let's be serious. But until next time.
A strong 3.8.
Yeah. Oh, and also, if you'd like to ask us any questions or you have any feedback or if you just want to get in here and tell us you guys are wrong, we reserve the right to be wrong, and sometimes we are.
If you feel so strongly about it, too, I wouldn't mind taking a Skype call live one of these days.
Yeah.
If you want to yell at us, you know, you're interested, email us.
Drop us a line, info@nickoftimepodcast.com. So until next time, everybody, this has been Nick of Time, a lineupmedia.fm production. Have a good week. This is Eric.
All right. This is Everett.
This is Sean.
Bye.
Bye. Right.
Peace.
Please wake up.
This has been Nick of Time, a Lineup Media Group production. Access all our podcasts now at lineupmediagroup.com.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who the hell are you people?
I'm mad as hell! I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm mad as hell and I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm not gonna take it anymore!